Our epistle reading is from 1 Peter, the second chapter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed, to be found on the inside back cover of the hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
pray.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon text is the gospel reading from John chapter 14. It's on page 901 of your pew Bibles. You might want to look at it because we're going to walk through it a little bit. Jesus starts off by saying, let not your heart be troubled. It's very famous, right? Let not your heart be troubled. Have you ever, maybe not, wondered why he says, don't let your heart be troubled? Is he just being nice and saying, hey, everybody, don't worry, calm down? Actually, he's saying it because right before that, in chapter 13, he's just told them, I'm leaving you, and you're not going to know where I'm going, and you're not allowed to follow me. Peter says, in chapter 13, Peter says, hold up, I'm going with you wherever you go. Whatever you do, I'm doing. And if that means that I'm going to die, I'm going with you. And Jesus says, actually, you're going to tell everybody that you don't know who I am because you're going to be embarrassed of me. Very next line, let not your heart be troubled. All right. I'm about to leave you, he says, and some of you are going to be tempted to abandon me. Some of you are going to want to deny me. Don't be worried. Don't be worried. Let me tell you what I'm doing. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is probably imagining in Judea at the time, people didn't like move out like most of us. You know, you grow up and you move away from mom and dad, sometimes far away, and you buy your own house and you get your own job and you do your own thing. But here in Judea at the time, when families would grow, they would just build the house bigger. It's called a domus. And it'd be this house, and it would have, apartments, but the father's house would be there, and the son's house would all be attached to the different sons, and the families would all be attached to this house, surrounding a central courtyard. And what Jesus is saying is that this is what I'm working on. I'm working for this big house for all of us to live in, and God himself is going to live there with us. You know the way where I'm going. Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? We don't even know where you're headed. How can we know the path to get there? And Jesus says to him, the famous verse, which is on the front of our bulletin, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then Philip says to him, this is what I want to spend the bulk of the sermon on tonight. Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. It's all we want. Just like, if you can show us God, we're good. That's all we're asking for. I know the stuff that you're saying about the house that you're preparing for us and how you know God and God knows you. This is great. We know that you're the guy. But just show us the Father, and we're going to be good to go. And Jesus says to him, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And he goes on to kind of unpack that. But I want to talk about a couple of things that I think Philip implies here. A couple of things Philip implies in his question. Like, can you show us the Father? If you can show us the Father, we'll be good. That's all we want. Just show us God. There's two things that are buried in that statement. One is that Philip wants Jesus to direct him to God. Right? Philip wants Jesus to direct him to God. And the second thing is that what he wants when he gets there is this transcendent experience. I'll have to prove that to you when we get to that point. This transcendent experience of actually knowing and like having this full body, visceral, emotional, this is what he's kind of looking for, right? So one, Jesus, can you show me the way to God? And when I get there, I'm going to have this fantastic experience, all right? So let's talk about that first line first. Can you show us the way to God? This is kind of what Thomas says too in his question, right? We don't know where you're going. We don't even know the way. We don't know the way. Right? Jesus says, I am the way. So you guys are familiar with the American bottom. It's the word for, it's the name for the floodplain that Granite City and East St. Louis and Waterloo sit in. And then we're up on top bluffs right here, these bluffs start like at Alt and then kind of wrap around this floodplain and meet up with the river close to Kaskaskia. All right. So if I'm asking you, if we're down there like by Granite City, let's say, and I ask you, how do I get on top of the bluffs? There's like any number of answers that you can give me that are going to work, right? Some of them better and some of them not so good. Like 55-70, you could say. You get up there on 55. So you get up there, if you take Route 3 up north, and you can go up to Alton that way, or 270, or 64, or Highway 15, right? Now you might be thinking that what Jesus is saying is, no, that's not true. There's only one way to get on top of the bluffs. All these other ways are not legit. There's only one way, and it's me, right? But actually, even that doesn't capture it. It's more like this. Have you guys ever seen The Princess Bride? You know that scene where a Bazzini has kidnapped, if you haven't seen it, it'll be okay, I'll explain it to you, has kidnapped Princess Buttercup, although I can't believe that there's somebody in here who hasn't seen it, kidnapped Princess Buttercup, and running away with them, and they notice that the guy dressed in black, the Dread Pirate Roberts, is chasing them. And they're headed for the Cliffs of Insanity. And there's no way that you can get up the Cliffs of Insanity. There's no road up there. It's just a sheer wall. And what they do is Bazzini and Inigo Montoya and Princess Buttercup all dangle off of a Fezzik, the big guy played by Andre the Giant. And he pulls them straight up on this rope, right? It's actually, when Jesus says, I'm the way, it's actually, you should think more like the Cliffs of Insanity. Look, getting to God, or getting to like your life's deepest purpose, it's like trying to climb the Cliffs of Insanity. There's no way you can, because there's no road up there. You can try. You can try to get your life's purpose and meaning figured out. You're just going to fall or go insane, which I guess is why they call them the Cliffs of Insanity. Jesus doesn't say to Philip, oh, sure, I can show you the way to God. As though, like, Jesus knows the only way to God, and if you follow Jesus, he'll show you the only way. No, Jesus is the way. And what you and I are doing as Christians is we're hanging on his back as he takes us to God. We're not going on the way. We're being carried on the way. He doesn't show you the road. He is the road. Second thing that's behind Philip's statement is this. I want this transcendent experience of God. So Philip is like me and you. He can't get past the fact that there's this construction worker standing in front of me saying things like, I'm God, and if you know me, you know God. No, Phil says, that's great. You know, you're a great guy, Jesus. I believe in you. I believe that you're the Messiah. I believe that you are the only one who can get me to God. But can you, like, show me God? And Jesus is like, says it again. Look, you have to understand, I am God. If you are look at me. You are actually looking at God. And what he wants is this, it's too mundane. You're a construction worker. You're just a dude. You're a great dude, but you're a dude. Like, I want, can you show me God? You know what I mean? Like, God. Do you ever think this? Do you ever come to the rail, or in your church you take communion, you come to the rail and you think, geez, I don't really feel anything. I don't feel, like, I know that everybody says, like, this is God here, but it's this little thing of bread and this little cup of wine, and I'm not really feeling it. I don't go up there and think these great thoughts about God, and, whoa, I'm just tapping into the eternal. Of course you don't. God comes to you in the form of a construction worker. God comes to you in bread and wine. And we're just going to have to get past it. It is mundane, but it is God. You don't come to the rail and don't, well, we all do, but don't, okay, so what I really want is I want somehow magically this bread and this wine to like point me or direct me some sort of spiritual way to get. No, you're actually holding God in your hand. Well, that's weird, you say to me. That's just bread and wine. How can that be God? Well, I don't know. I can't answer that question for you. There's only so much I can say. But Jesus says, this is my body. And if you want to know God, you have to know me. And if this is him, this is the way to God. And we don't get to say, okay, bread and wine, that's great, really tasty. But can you please show me God? No, he is showing us God. Same thing with the word. God comes to us in the word, as it's read and especially as it's preached. Later on in John chapter 15, he's going to say, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth. What does it mean to, by God's word, know the truth? Well, the truth is less a thing, and it's more a person. Remember verse 6 here in chapter 14. I am the way. I am the truth. The truth isn't something you get in your head. The truth is a person. It's a construction worker from ancient Judea who died and rose again from the dead. If you know God's word, you know him. And so when Pastor Adel gets up here and he preaches this evening, he read from the gospel and he read from 1 Peter, and we all say, oh, that's God. It's nice. You know, it's the Bible, right? And the guy's got good diction. He kind of didn't slip up at all, just read right through there. It's actually God speaking to you, and you don't sit there and you don't listen. I hope that, although we all do, sit there and listen and say, okay, but I want to hear God's word. I want to hear God's voice. No, that is. God was speaking through Pastor Adel to you. Now, you know Pastor Adel, and you know that he's just a dude, right? He makes mistakes. How can it be possible that he's speaking God's word out loud to you? It's just too mundane. It's just too ordinary. It'd be nice if we could have some place where we could go, perhaps a shack out in the wilderness, where we could actually meet with God, and he could talk to us, but it doesn't work like that. It comes to us in the mundane things. Construction worker from Nazareth. Bread, wine, God's word, preached, read. You want to hear God's word? Do you actually want to experience God right now in all of his glory, all of his power? I'm going to let you in on it. God is going to talk. You don't have to listen very closely, but you have to listen to this, okay? Listen to this. God's about to speak to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will bring you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen.